It's blazing hot outside. You get in your car to turn on the AC to get cold air pumping, but it blows hot air out. This issue is commonly caused by low refrigerant due to leaks in the AC system. You want an easy, all-in-one solution that will restore the cold air in no time. AC Pro Recharge Kits make restoring cold air easy for even those with zero DIY experience in less than 10 minutes. Save time and money versus going to a shop by picking up an AC Pro Recharge Kit today. Be a pro with AC Pro.
You got to start talking now.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show
with Kyle Seeloff,
driven by AutoNation,
is on 940 Winds,
Miami Sports.
All right, what's going on? Good evening. We're back. This is the Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation, live tonight from Duffy's in Plantation. We're here from 5 to 6 o'clock. If you're in the area, swing on by and join us. Going to be a lot of fun tonight. I'm Kyle Seeloff, and joining us tonight, Marlins shortstop and captain of the ball club, Miguel Rojas. Miggy, thank you for joining us. It's always great to see you. And let us first start in the new year by congratulating both you and your wife, Mariana, on the birth of your daughter late last week.
Thank you very much, Kyle, for having me today. And for that, I mean, it's been an amazing week and a crazy one, too, because I'm in the middle of the preparation for a new year. And I think these couple weeks are so important for the going into spring training with a great mindset and great body. So, it's been a bless, but at the same time, it's been kind of tough to do it at this time of the year.
You got your son at home. I'm sure he wants to be in the batting cage every afternoon playing with dad. Now you got the little one. Are you sleeping?
I'm not sleeping that well right now, but I'm happy. That's the most important thing. I wake up every single morning with a motivation of taking care of the whole family, especially my daughter now. Like, it's a different feeling. So I'm not sleeping that well, but I'm functional. I'm good.
You know, I saw the news late last week, Miggy, and you've got a family now. And I've always wondered, we're going to jump right into it here. There's a lot I want to talk to you about. But does it put life into perspective when you're young and you're 18 and you're grinding, you're eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches down in single A and double A with these visions of just being in the big leagues? When you grow up and you're in the big leagues and you've been here for a while and you go 1-for-4 one night with a couple of strikeouts and it wasn't a great night, but you have a family to go home to, does it put things into perspective the next morning when your son just wants to go out and play baseball with you? Do you kind of forget about things a little bit?
Yeah, 100%. When you start growing and you start getting some experience in this game, you start trusting yourself a little bit more. And that comes with family, and that comes with a lot of time with them, and especially knowing that baseball is not everything in life, you know, like you have something beyond that. When you're that young and you're like in the grind of like trying to make it to a big league, which being your dream the whole time, it's a little bit hard to focus on what happening on the environment. So for me, it's now I got to a point where I don't care what happened on the field. I always gonna do my best, but I got something. And I got my family to go to. So, and I don't even have to wait until the next day.
Right.
That night when I got there, my dog is waiting for me. It doesn't matter if I go 0-for-4 or 4-for-4. And that's the beauty of this game at this point, you know, like you're always playing is to win games and to bring happiness to the people that is around you, you know, like it's different. This time and this state of my career is different when I was 4 years ago. And you guys know that. And now that I'm in this position, I just want to make everybody around me better so I can help the team win. So I always say, what's your goal this year?
Right.
Is to help this team win. But I didn't know what that means until I got to this point. And actually, until last year when we did it and we won games, and I knew what it takes to make it to the postseason and be in a big role. So that's what I'm happy about.
An unbelievable 2020 season, a stressful one. You guys were off for a couple of months. You reconvene, and you end up going to the postseason for the first time in 17 years. There was a lot of hard work that went into that abbreviated 60-game season, and we'll talk about that in one moment. But when the season finishes and you're done in Houston, was it a big sigh of relief that it was over and you guys accomplished so much? Were you eager to get back out there? Or did the stresses of the season just bring you home and you were just happy to put your head on your pillow at nighttime and not have to worry about all that?
Nah, I mean, it was a combination of feelings because, we wanted to go the long way. We wanted to go to the World Series. And I think, and we personally think that we have the opportunity to make it that far because we have the pieces, we have the pitching. And I know we suffered a couple injuries later over there with Marte, and I think it was a big piece for us to accomplish what we did because, I mean, without these guys that got to the team in the middle of the year or actually getting there last year, like Aggie, Kinsler, Cody Dickerson, we couldn't accomplish what we did last year with our core of young players that we have, Andy, Alcantara, Sixto, right. Pablo, and all those guys. But at the end of the day, when we got to the playoff, we wanted to go for all, you know?
Right.
Like, we wasn't just happy that we was there. I think everybody in that clubhouse wanted to beat the Braves because we know that's going to be an obstacle for us. We have to go over the Braves to be able to be on the top of the division. And to be honest with you, for me, it was more like, hey, we got a job to do. We have a lot of work to do this offseason. Everybody on their own get better. And this team is going to be so much better in 2021.
Last Tuesday, J.P., Aaron Sebi, and I had an opportunity to chat with your teammate, Garrett Cooper. And reflecting on the season, he mentioned something similar that we know what it takes now. We were there, weird circumstances. It's probably different against the Braves if you're at Marlins Park and there's 37,000 people cheering you on. It's a different situation if you're in Atlanta and there's 37,000 people booing you every time you step into the box. So that aside, he did mention we know what it takes now. In your mind, from what you saw being there, what does it take to get over that hurdle?
I feel like we have to be ready to, like, confront them. You know, like, it's going to be a part of the year where you're going to face them not just for 9 times, you're going to face them 19 times, hopefully in 162 games. And that's a lot of games against them and sending a message to them that we're there and we're ready to compete for the division. And I know it's not going to be just Atlanta. Washington is getting better. The Mets are getting so much better. And our team is getting better with experience because I know our young talent can compete with anybody in this division. So, I mean, it's not just the Braves. We have to be ready for the task that is ahead of us, which is like trying to beat off these guys every single time we have an opportunity to step on the same field. So for me, it's not just the preparation into a new year. It's how we're going to approach these games against the Braves in the middle of the year when counts as big as it was in the playoff.
When you turn the double play at Yankee Stadium, is that picture on your wall anywhere now?
Not yet, but I'm thinking about doing something special for that moment. But that's definitely it. That's the best moment in my career so far because I feel like a lot of things happening, you know, like I remember before the pitch, looking up the stands, nobody in the stands, just Gary Denbo walking up and down the aisle. And that was like emotional because I know Donnie was in the dugout, big Yankees guy in the past, and now with this organization growing together, you know,
right.
Like there's a lot of things that go into that moment that makes it so special.
You've taken a million ground balls and maybe a million and one to date. Is that the hardest one to handle?
No, I think it was the easiest one because
really?
I was ready and I was prepared for that ground ball. Even before the game started, I was talking to Kinsler. Kinsler talked to me about like maybe pitching around guys because one of the only guys that he have history in that team is DJ LeMahieu.
Yeah.
So DJ LeMahieu just hit into 2 double plays the whole year before that happened. And it kind of went back to the preparation, what I'm talking about. Kinsler, before the game, he told me, hey, when DJ comes to the play, I'm probably going to have to pitch around guys that I don't know of, but I know DJ and I know how to get him out. So I need you to play up the middle. So that's why when the ground ball was hit, I was in the perfect spot. I didn't have to go so far to my left. So I just catch the ball, step on the back, and make a perfect throw to Aggie. And that's the less that I can do in that moment and in that situation.
And then the celebration. You see Gary pacing. You know what it means, the South Florida fans, to be back there. Because as we've talked about, it's been a struggle to get back to the postseason. When I watched the celebration, Miggy, it wasn't just like a group of guys celebrating, but it looked like a group of guys, and yourself included, it was like, we did it, and nobody can tell us anymore that like we're a joke, and you're not just coming to Miami anymore to try to sweep us. It's not just, we're going to beat you guys now. Is that the sense you guys had?
100%, and I feel it was, at that point, it was a sense of relief because we was playing so good, and we got a really good series against Philly. We won I think 5 or 6 out of 9.
Yeah, that's right. At home.
That when we play 14 games in 12 days or something like that, it was such a hard stretch for us that at some point we got to a normal kind of schedule when we got to Atlanta and we couldn't finish Atlanta. You know, like it was hard for us to win a game against the Braves. So that's why I think it is such a big hurdle for us to overcome, because it's going to be what is going to hold us to be a good team, to be a great team and a championship team. But I mean, to get to New York and go back to work after winning 1 out of 4, I think, in Atlanta, I mean, it got us motivated to go to the next step. And at that point, it was a sense of relief on everybody, because the celebration was that, like, we did it after overcoming all the obstacles, flying to New York in an off day in the middle of a homestand. I think everything came to my mind at that time, and it was amazing.
And then you go to Chicago, and again, in a normal year, Wrigley Field, those people are on top of you, Miggy. It's a fun place to be. It's a fun place to play, and I know we can't wait until we get that experience down here at Marlins Park, hopefully this year and hopefully really soon. But once you clinch, did you feel like the pressure's off and now we're a good baseball team? Now we're going to go to Chicago. We're going to take care of them. Then we're on to Houston. Did it feel like once you clinch things in New York, then it was pressure's off and now it's go time?
Yeah, it was kind of that sensation, because everybody was like trying too hard to make it to the playoffs.
Yes.
You know, like we didn't want that moment to slip out of our hands, you know. But once we make it to the playoffs, we knew we have the Cubs, and it was a good matchup for us, you know. Like, I mean, it got to a point when we were in New York waiting to see if we have to go to San Diego or we have to go to Chicago.
Right.
As soon as we find out that we was going to Chicago, we knew we have a great opportunity, because with our pitching and the way they end up hitting, like, we got a pretty good chance to win that series.
Right.
And, I mean, all the confidence was in our favor. And to be honest with you, we played in that ballpark before, you know?
Right, yeah.
So we play in that ballpark. We know that team. We play against that team. And, I mean, we knew going into that series with Alcantara and Sixto and Pablo, it was going to be really hard to beat us in a 3-game set,
yeah.
You know? So we got the opportunity to beat them there with a couple bats and, like I say, Marte situation. And the lineup without that guy in the middle there.
It hurt.
Starting, it hurt us, for sure. And that's why I feel like everybody has to think about that. And it has to be a mindset of, like, next man up. Like, who's going to take care of that opportunity? And Mauneri Sierra did a great job.
Yeah.
And
no
he
doubt.
took advantage of every little opportunity. John Birdie, Josh Chisholm, guys who play in that role, I mean, gonna have the experience going forward to 2021 and the future. And that's why I'm so excited about this club, getting that opportunity to feel that pressure, playing for the playoff and being a big part.
Yeah.
They wasn't just on the bench waiting for an opportunity; they were playing. So I think that's why I always tell people, the best player that we had last year, I think it was Mauneri Sierra, because that guy, every time the bell rang, he answered, and he did a great job, like, overcoming a lot of things to be the player that he can be, and he helped us a lot.
With Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff. We are live from Duffy's Inn Plantation tonight, 5 to 6 o'clock. Come out and join us. You mentioned something before you clinch. You could have a 7-game lead in the division in the wild card with 8 games left, and it's virtually impossible for you not to get in. But for fans that don't understand, when you're there and you know you're going to make it, how hard do the games become? Do you feel it every time you step in the box? It's a little different that at bat than it is in July, right? Can you tell us how that feels leading up to, we just got to win one more game, fellas? It's not as easy as it sounds.
Yeah, no. I think this year was a perfect setup for us, right? Because as soon as they say it's a 60-game season and we're going to start, I don't even remember, late July, we was in a pennant chase.
Yeah.
You know? And at that moment, I think the message that the organization sent, coming from Derek to Donnie and to everybody that talked to us, we're in the middle of a pennant on a race. We're trying to go for this pennant because we have an opportunity with 60 games left. We're tied.
Yep.
So we have a great opportunity to play under pressure every single game. So that's why when we got to a point where we need to win one game to clinch, it was a little bit easier for us because we always play with that pressure and with that chip on our shoulder.
Yep.
So we believe that we can do it. And, I mean, I have to I have to give credit to the team going hot out of the gate. You know, playing really good in the first couple games in Philly. Now everybody knows what happened, the outbreak. Yeah. But the guys pick it up like right away, you know?
Yeah, you couldn't afford a bad week last year.
Exactly.
Or you're done.
Because that was what put us in a best position to make everybody believe that we was there to win. Because we didn't have our full team, and the guys keep winning games, you know?
Yeah.
They were beating the Orioles, that they were playing really good. Then they went to New York and won. They went to Buffalo, and they did a great job. And then all of a sudden, our full team is back.
Yep.
And we have an opportunity to do what we did last year and beating off a lot of teams. It was for them to understand that we're ready to compete.
Alongside Marlins shortstop Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff. We'll take a quick break. Before we do that, are you ready to buy a car? You can get New Year savings now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell your car, AutoNation makes it as easy as ABC. Any AutoNation store, bring in your car. You get a check on the spot. They're going to buy your car whether you buy theirs or not. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. So you can turn it into cash now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. We are live from Duffy's in Plantation tonight. Come on out and join us. We'll take a quick break. You're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Make sure you experience opening day live at Marlins Park with the opening day bundle starting at just $65. You can build your bundle. You get tickets to three games, including opening day 2021, plus your choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. If you're interested, visit marlins.com/bundle. Alongside Marlins shortstop Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff, coming to you live from Duffy's in Plantation tonight. We're here until 6 o'clock, so make sure you come out and join us. And listen, Miggy, as we look ahead towards 2021, your left fielder, Corey Dickerson, will join us in just a couple of minutes via the telephone. But we've recapped 2020. As we look ahead towards 2021, personally for you, when did the preparation start? How much time did you take off before you look ahead?
I took off like around 3 weeks before I start working on whatever I need to get better for 2021. And one of the things was getting healthier. So right away when the season ends, I got in touch with my PT and the guy that I work with to get my hip and my shoulder ready. And I kind of sent that message to the guys as soon as the season was over. It was like a sense of urgency of like getting everybody to get a little bit better. So this year we have a lot of things to accomplish, and we know 162 games is going to be so much harder to do. And we don't want anybody to see or tell us that we did it and we made it just because it was a 60 game season. So I didn't take that much time off because I was so focused and so ready to get back to the field. And I think it was like, for me, it was motivation to get better. And I'm not getting younger, I'm getting older, and I want to be able to play a really good shortstop, be steady at short, and be in an access like I always been to Donnie. If Donnie needs me there for 162 games, I want to be able to do that. So that's why my preparation starts so quick, because I wanted to work a little bit smarter instead of harder, so that way I can be ready for 162 games.
You've been with Donnie for a while now, and I know he means a lot to this organization. Very well deserving of the National League Manager of the Year award. But for those of us that are not in that dugout every night, what does he bring? What are those qualities that he brings to a ball club that keeps you guys steady over the course of 6 months?
I think Donnie just gives you confidence with the way that he talks to players, the way that he's always around, that he's always like a guy that you can ask for an advice without thinking that that's going to affect you as a player or the relationship that you can have with your other teammates. So I think Donnie is being amazing, not just with the young players, but with the veterans as well. So he understands what it takes to play 162 games and what it takes to play every single day. And he's very communicative. So he's have a great communication with everybody in that locker room, especially with the guys who need some breaks sometimes. You know, like sometimes if the guy is not ready to maybe hit BP that day, he's all ears, and he's always available to say, you know what, I need you for this game, but you can take some some time off here. You know, like he's always, his communication is amazing. And something that people might not know is that conversation that we have with Donnie when we have the outbreak. So
yeah,
communicating with him and with the whole organization when that happens and being together, even with that tough moment, through Zoom calls and all that kind of stuff. We did like 3 or 4 Zoom calls during the time that people was out. So that's why all these players who got COVID didn't feel like away from the team. We was always there. Donnie yep. was reaching out, and that's why it doesn't matter what happened on the field, but off the field as well. Donnie's a great guy,
and he seems so even keeled. I mean, over the course of 6 months, you guys are grinding every day. Mistakes are going to happen. I've always thought it's so refreshing. You don't see this much with major league managers, but there's no point in the middle of May, maybe if you make an error in the field, to see your manager throwing up his hands in the dugout. What good is that going to do with 110 games left, right? I mean, like, that's a quality that he has always seemed to have to me. Good, bad, somewhere in between. He's going to keep a straight face, and you guys are just going to keep on plugging away.
Yeah, that's what you want for your leader, for your manager. He's that kind of guy who, it doesn't matter what situation you're having, if you're doing really good or you're not doing that good, he's always going to have your back. You know, like, it's not just when you're doing amazing and you're doing a great job for the team, but he's going to have your back even when you're not have your best days. So I think that's a quality from Donnie. And I remember something that he told me when I was playing for him in LA. First time I made an error in the big leagues, going back into a ground ball, He grabbed me in the dugout right away, and he got the easiness, the facility of coming to me and say, "Hey, you're gonna make a lot of errors,
yeah.
but I don't want you to make an error going back on the ball. Right. I want you to be aggressive. I don't care if you make 10, 20, 50 more errors. I want you to be aggressive, and I want you to trust yourself." And that stayed with me the whole time, and something like that small when I was a rookie. From a guy like Don Mattingly that I used to watch on TV, and I know the kind of player and the person he is. So it went a long way. And now with the players that we have, I'm just trying to be an extension of a manager on the field. And I know what Don is thinking almost like, I don't know, I think 90% of the times I know the move that Don is gonna make or is going to happen. So that's why for me it's so easy to translate what Donnie wants on the field.
You said you're not getting younger, Miggy. You're only getting older. But we're also in a day and age where you're working out 350 days a year. Guys are focused on nutrition. You're in the weight room. Where is your body at now compared to where it was when you first came up with the Dodgers? I know you're only getting older, but do you feel as good as you ever have?
Yeah, it's different because when I got there, I didn't have the preparation that I have right now.
Gotcha.
So I got with Martin Prado a couple years ago, actually my second year here in 2016, and I went with him to Orlando where he used to live. So Martin showed me the way to prepare for 162 games and to be a complete professional baseball player. So that's why I think after I did that and I experienced that, I said, you know what, my baseball career changed because now I know what I need to do to be an everyday player and how to stay healthy for a long time. So that's why my preparation is being so, like, it's been a big key
yeah.
because my offensive number been going up, my games plays been going up every single year. So that's why I give a lot of credit to the people who teach me how to do that in a daily basis, because when you're young and you just get into the big leagues, your body's probably not ready to do it, and you need to understand, and that's why I'm taking under my wing guys like Victor Mesa Jr. and Ian Lewis working out at the same place that we're working. Jazz, I've been hitting with Jazz a couple times this offseason. Lewis Brinson, Monte Harrison, Isan Diaz. So when they see guys that done it before and prepared that way, it's going to be a little bit easier for them to prepare.
Yeah, no question. All right, we are at Duffy's in Plantation alongside Miguel Rojas. I'm Kyle Seeloff. We're going to take a quick break because when we come back, Marlins left fielder Corey Dickerson joins the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation, right here on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app.
The Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show with Kyle Seeloff, driven by AutoNation, is on 940 Wins, Miami Sports.
All right, welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show tonight, driven by AutoNation. 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. If you're ready to buy a car, you can get New Year's savings now at AutoNation. And if you're ready to sell your car, AutoNation makes it as easy as ABC. Go to any AutoNation store, bring in your car, get a check on the spot. We're going to buy your car whether you buy theirs or not. You'll get a check on the spot in as fast as 30 minutes. You can turn it into cash now. Sell your car fast at AutoNation. Visit AutoNation.com. Alongside Marlins shortstop Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff, coming to you live from Duffy's in Plantation. Tonight, we'll wrap up right around 6 o'clock. Thank you to the good people at Duffy's for taking care of us tonight. Beautiful night in South Florida. Baseball season is right around the corner. And Miggy, joining us over the phone now, is your teammate in Marlins left fielder, Corey Dickerson. Corey, good evening. How are you?
What's up, fellas? Doing good.
Hey, Corey D. Good to hear you, brother.
Can't wait
to be back with you.
I know.
Everything is good, man. I know.
Corey, thank you for joining us. And we've had an opportunity, Miggy and I, and I've picked his brain about everything that transpired last season and now looking forward to 2021. Miggy, let's start with Corey. And, Corey, I would like to know everything that this organization went through last year and ends in incredible fashion going to the postseason for the first time in 17 years. Do you recall the time? Was it spring training or headed into summer camp where you guys really felt like you were becoming a team?
Man, I feel like, you know, last year was so crazy with spring training stopping and then not knowing we were going to come back. And then the second spring training, everybody had a buzz, you know, 60 games, anything's possible kind of mentality. But I really felt like that first series in Baltimore, it was something about it. It was something special, I think, being you see how the game can easily be taken away from you. We got really hot from that beginning and we kind of, you know, we really fed on that. And it was more or less a tough season for sure.
Miggy, what about you? Because I think there was a point when all hell breaks loose, right? And everybody's stuck in a hotel room in Philadelphia. It would have been really easy for one guy to say, this is on you. We are tired of this. Let's just go home. Let's stop this whole thing. Do you recall the moment where it was like, you know what? We could have gone one way. We're going another, and we're going to play some good baseball down the stretch.
Yeah, I was talking to you about the importance of communication with Donnie. And I remember, and Corey maybe remembered this too. We had like three conversations on the Zoom call with the whole team, putting that situation away and
right.
Putting that behind us and focusing for that moment on what we gotta do to be the best team that we can be going forward. And for the guys who stay on the field, I mean, kudos to them because they went out there without like swinging a bat or throwing a ball in 10 days. They start winning baseball games like they did, and it was amazing. And I think that was the moment where Donnie was so important for us, and that's why he deserved that award of the Manager of the Year because what he did, not just on the field but off the field. But I think that's where this Marlins team became a family more than just a baseball team.
You've been here with the organization for a while, Miguel. Corey, you've been a part of some really good baseball teams throughout the course of your Major League Baseball career. Where would you say last year, with everything that you guys endured and going to the postseason, would stack up in terms of teams that you've played with and just how rewarding it was when it was all said and done?
Man, yeah, like you said, I've been part of great teams, especially, you know, Colorado, we had some really good offensive teams. Tampa, we came close one year. Being in Pittsburgh, Philly, I mean, all those teams were great. But last year when we made the playoffs, you know, I remember telling Donnie, a couple of the guys, it makes you that excited for spring training and off-season workouts to know what that feeling is like. To get over that hump, to get in the playoffs, that it felt like the monkey was just all over your back, you know, that Yankee series at the end of the year to just clinch a spot. And what it came down to after the season and after playoffs, I kind of got to sit back and reflect a little bit. And I'm a team guy. I that's what I love about the game more than anything is serving all the guys. and there's no other profession where you can go every year and serve 50 guys, be around these different individuals and feed into their life. And for me, how special it was, the feeling that I got was because I got to, achieve that goal with the guys that were in that locker room. And that's what was probably the most important to me. And going forward, most of the guys are going to be returning and holding on to that feeling of what it felt like to make it, but also what it was like to make it with that group of guys, like how we held it together, how we fed off one another, how our conversations are in the locker room, how we grew as a team. I feel like that's what I remember the most, and I look forward to grinding away again this year.
Well, it's right around the corner, spring training, just about 4 weeks away. Pitchers and catchers report, boy, three and a half weeks. Alongside Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff. Joining us over the phone is Corey Dickerson. Corey, what's going on in Mississippi this offseason? Miggy said he was going to come spend a week with you, but he just couldn't find it in his schedule.
Yeah, man. Busy. I got three kids now. I had, Miggy just had his, and I had our third child, a little girl, on December 30th. So I have a six-year-old, a three-year-old, well, about to be three-year-old, and a newborn. So I'm pretty busy. My favorite part of the day is, taking my son to school at 7 o'clock in the morning and being able to invest my time into him, and then just off to training. Usually my day starts off about 4 in the morning. I wake up, do my devotion stuff, get a little me time, and then hang out with the boys and take Davis to school and get after it, work out, and try to get better.
Corey, when you mention your family, Miggy, I see the smile on your face. It just means a lot, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's amazing. The feelings that you get from like waking up every single day and having them as a motivation to just get better. We're not going to stop where we end up last year. We're just going to continue to get better every single day, and that's a huge motivation, and I know for Corey is too. And I was talking to Corey a lot right next to my locker in Chicago in that series. We was talking about Corey not being able to be with his son for his birthday.
Yeah.
And it was like special to be kind of friend for Corey in that moment. Like I say, hey, Corey, we're going to do this together, and whatever happens, happens, but your son is going to be so happy that we're going to make it to the playoff that's going to, actually, you're just going to take him to Houston, and he's going to be so happy to be with you, and he can talk to you about that. But a family is a huge part of our success, and we always have him on our minds.
You guys chat in the offseason, not just you and Corey, but as a team collectively, are there group messages?
Yeah, we still have the group going. The guys are... Like, of course, in the off season you do your own thing, you take care of your family and stuff. But I mean, it's always great to get a text message from Ethan Diaz today. Hey, my shortstop, how you doing? I want to get back to you. I want to get back with you, and let's take some grounders and stuff like that. Andy, when he was nominated for the Gold Glove, like a bunch of messages from the guys to him, congratulating him. Same with me. And that's always amazing. Corey just texted me a couple of days ago to congratulate me for my girl. And the message always finished with, hey, let's get after it this year. I can't wait to be back with you,
Corey, are you in the weight room?
I am shooting basketball, actually.
Oh, do you have a good jumper?
I can't shoot. I got three state championship rings in basketball, but, I wasn't quite tall enough.
Do you guys play?
No, I haven't played with Corey, but I just built a half court in my place. So,
ooh.
Hey, Corey, you're invited, bro, during the year.
Were you a guard? Corey, what
yes,
position?
Was. Yeah, ooh. Shooting guard.
You can
I can shoot.
All right.
Yeah.
So is that you shoot a lot of basketball in the off season, just playing with the kids and stuff?
I used to. Now I'm going to shoot outside my house. But when I trained, I used to warm up, just shooting basketball and stuff like that. But I don't do it as much as I like.
Have you played Miggy in ping pong?
Nope. I picked up more I picked up golf more. Ping pong, I don't play consistent enough.
Yeah. No. You better. Stay that way because I don't wanna make you feel bad though.
It's like the biggest part of spring training.
Yeah, it is. 100%. Other than stretching in the morning, ping pong is a big part of my day. Spring training for sure.
And Corey, I know you got the family at home in Mississippi, but you missed out on the big boat trip. I saw Miggy on Instagram. You, Monte, who else? Jazz, Eddie,
and yeah, us. We went there. I wish we could do something like that with more players because that create that bond off the field as well. You know, like this year was so different. Corey can tell you like how important are dinner nights when we play in a day game, after a day game, or when we get to a city, we going to dinner together. We couldn't do that this year. So I think that kind of stuff for the people who are here in Miami and do that kind of stuff, talking about what we need to get better at and talking how the off season is going. I mean, this is a big family, and that was one of the things that we did to continue to grow as a family.
Corey, we'll let you go in just a couple of minutes. I've got one more question for both you and Miggy. And on a serious note, as we head into the 2021 season, obviously the COVID-19 pandemic is still lingering, but it would appear as if everybody's going to report on time and you guys are going to try to play a full spring training along with the regular season, which would be fantastic. But can you take us inside of the clubhouse and everything that you guys had to do to be successful from the standpoint of just staying on the field last year? And how mentally draining was that? And does that play a factor headed into this year?
Well, a lot of people don't understand. It's so hard, especially when spring training got canceled the first time, and then the second one, we just didn't know when we were going to start. But you know, your routine is such a fan-driven sport, and you feed off of them, and so we're had so many uncertainties when we show up to the field. There's all these variables: wearing your mask, they separated, only so many guys in the gym, there's no hot tubs, there's all kind of these variables, and then you have to play this game with no fans, and then if you're struggling, there's nobody yelling at you, there's nobody holding you accountable, you know, nobody's in the outfield chewing me out, you know, all you can think about is like your swing or like it feels like practice. So you hold yourself to the standard, and then all of a sudden you get hot where you're trying to keep yourself high. You're trying to keep yourself at that mental standard, but you can't do that all day, every day with all these variables. So it's kind of a roller coaster. And for me, like Miggy said, it's like a family. My dad found cancer on his kidney during that season. My grandfather died. Couldn't see my family for 2 months, missed my son's birthday. I mean, I had a lot of personal stuff going on too, but also trying to hold yourself to that kind of that high expectation every single day and be, not in your own head was really, really tough. And that's why I thought a lot of young guys would perform really well, because there's no pressure. There's no, there's not 50,000 people and, to keep you locked in. So it was really tough. This year, I think knowing what to expect, knowing we can prepare for it, knowing that we did it, gives us encouragement, and I'm looking forward to it.
What do you think, Miggy, as we sit here on the dawn of 2021? Obviously, you guys are going to have to be very careful, but, boy, just to be back with one another and maybe get back into a routine too.
Yeah, the 2020 was really tough and hard, but it was worth it.
Yeah.
You know, for us to go out there and having the opportunity to actually opt out if we want to, we didn't. So everybody wanted to play. Everybody wanted to be there together. And like Corey say, putting everything aside and doing a great job keeping this family together and keeping this clubhouse alive. I think that was the biggest point of 2020, and we got a lot of things to remember from that year. Like it wasn't just everything was it wasn't bad. You know, for us it was an amazing opportunity to get to know more people, get to know more family members. And I didn't know Corey before this well. I play against him in Colorado, and I always have the respect as a player. But now that I have guys like him and Aggie and Andy and Sixto and those guys in the clubhouse, I feel like my family just grew last year. So I think that's why I'm so happy about what happened in 2020 for us as a team, because we know we can do it, and we can't wait to go back.
Outstanding. Yeah, Corey, keep that
one more thing.
Go ahead. Absolutely.
I was just going to say, like you said, talking about Aguilar and like the fans and the people didn't really get to see us and know us. You know, our clubhouse environment was so special because, I mean, we had guys, even Marte, that came in, so laid back, keep it loose, hilarious. Guys that, you know, we did less and not did more. We didn't do more. Our coaching staff, J-Roe, Donnie, all those guys, Duncan. I mean, we fed into one another, and like, and you asked me, I'm one of the loudest ones in the clubhouse. I'm gonna call you out, joke with you, and they all bought into that. They did it back. So when you showed up to work, you showed up every day. It was about the morale, and our clubhouse had an unbelievable every single day joking around morale, which is infectious. And you know, that's what I miss most about, you know, the season and stuff, but it's coming up shortly, and, you know, that's what makes us excited.
It'll be here in about 4 weeks, and I'll tell you what, just talking to the both of you and getting to know some of you guys, I guess via Zoom, some of the newcomers last year, it's hard not to root for this group of guys. Corey, all I was going to say before you cap things off was keep that mid-range jumper silky smooth, my man, and we'll see you in about 4 weeks.
Always. I'm always ready. Thanks, guys.
All right, that was Marlins left fielder Corey Dickerson. Miggy, let's take one more break. When we come back, I think you had some fan questions we'll get to.
All right, sounds good.
All right.
See you, Corey.
All right, you're listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by Auto Nation. We'll be right back on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Welcome back to the Marlins Hot Stove Show, tonight driven by Auto Nation on 940 Wins in the iHeartRadio app. Hey, opening day is right around the corner, and you can experience it live at Marlins Park with the opening day bundle. Starting at just $65, you can build your bundle. You can get tickets to three games, including opening day 2021, plus your choice of a Marlins cap, including floral options. Visit marlins.com/bundle. Alongside Marlins shortstop Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff, coming to you live from Duffy's in Plantation. Tonight, thank you to Marlins left fielder Corey Dickerson for joining us. Miggy, I guess Corey was on the basketball court. We had an opportunity to see your new half court setup at your home during the break. But hey, before we get going here, you want to take some fan questions?
Yeah, of course. Let's do it.
We throughout the course of the year, we always see you, Miggy, interacting with fans, and I know it's something that means a lot to you. And we see you on social media and your presence, and I think you've just you drove to a couple of people's homes recently and gave them some cool items. How much does it mean to you, not just the autograph items? I think that's the question in particular, but to give back and to help the community and people that love you and that you are their favorite player. What's that mean to you?
Yeah, this community embraced me when I got here in 2015. So it's so important for me to give back to them. And that's why I'm here. That's why I'm always available. Actually, if I'm around, I want to interact with my fans and the people who support us throughout all the time. You know, now when we get to a point where actually we're winning, we're making it to the playoff, and we have a team that they can be proud of, you know, like that's always amazing. So I want them to be able to experience those moments with us, and it was really hard last year. 2020 wasn't an easy year for anybody, and we didn't have the connection and the interaction with fans at the ballpark. So that's why this offseason I said, you know what, I'm gonna take some time from my schedule or whatever I'm doing, and I'm going to try to give back to the community. One of the things that I did was right around Christmas, I got 20 items from my collection at home. Game-used cleats, game-used bats, baseballs, bobblehead. And I did a huge giveaway in one of my platforms in social media. So I found out that a couple of the winners were in South Florida. Oh. So I wanted to go to their places and actually get to meet them and saying thank you for everything that they've done for us, because what the fans do for you is like Corey was saying, you know, like they give you that the adrenaline, they give you that the they keep you accountable for everything that you do.
They give you life, give you energy.
Exactly. So that's why it's so important for me to interact with fans and be part of this community is huge for me.
Now, as we head into 2021, can you clue us in? Amongst Major League Baseball players, your kicks are the coolest, Miggy. What do you have in the works that you can share with us?
Yeah, I'm working on some designs because I don't know what kind of color I'm going to go. My base color last year was kind of the South Beach colors, which is like a blue and pink. And it was because I love the heat. Miami Vice jersey, so I love the colors, and that was kind of my base last year. My batting glove has some pink on it and blue is my favorite color, so expect some blue. They're going to be there, and I think I'm going to go with some kind of bold green this Ooh. Year too, because, you know, in your cleats, you can show your you can kind of show your personality with your cleats and your batting glove, and I trying to keep it cool, you know, like I want people to be to want to watch us play, you know, and be on the field and be flashy, but at the same time respecting the game and doing whatever I need to do to be prepared.
So I don't know if people know this, but it's really cool between the two of us. We've got about 500 pairs of shoes, and you've got about 497 of them, Miggy. I think I have about 3 pairs of shoes at home. But when did you fall in love with the shoes and stuff? And how many do you actually have? Do you know?
Well, I have a Jordan collection. I'm a big Jordan guy, basketball guy. That's why, I mean, that's the sport that I like to watch, and I grew up watching, and I play baseball, but I always wanted to play basketball. But I mean, it happens, you know. And when I started like actually getting my collection, it was when I get to the big leagues. I have a little bit money more to spend, and so that's why my collection started at 2014.
We've got about 30 seconds. The hardest part about being an everyday shortstop in the big leagues?
Preparing every day to give a good experience to the new fans that are watching that day. I think it's really hard in baseball to perform well, but performing at the highest level every single day is the hardest part.
Always good to see you, Miggy. Thanks so much for the time.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you to Corey Dickerson for joining us. For Chris Holley back home at the 940 Winds Marlins Radio Network Studios, and Miguel Rojas, I'm Kyle Seeloff saying so long and good night. Thanks for listening to the Miami Marlins Hot Stove Show, driven by AutoNation on 940 Winds and the iHeartRadio app.